beautiful Canada Day weekend. It couldn't get any better out there. And it's also today the conclusion of our We Are Calvary series that we've been in this month, looking at the framework of what the church is really all about what our role in that, in God's plan is. And weren't the dancers fantastic? Let's give them another big round of applause. Amen? Yeah. That was our Mandarin dance team, and we're just so blessed when they come to be with us. You know, we are blessed. We're incredibly blessed to be a part of a thriving, multi-ethnic, multicultural, intergenerational church, young and old, from all walks of life, different parts of the world. I believe that diversity, the diversity that we celebrate here today, is a reflection of the city that God has called us to minister to. And I think it's a wonderful thing. But before we jump into the message today, want to bring a couple of things to your attention. Next week, next Sunday, I start a brand new series that I've been really looking forward to called Upside Down. Now, this is a kind of a kingdom perspective series on the Beatitudes. It's going to be a great study that you're going to enjoy. And it's also the kickoff of our summer Sundays here at Calvary throughout the summer, with our after parties taking place every Sunday at 11:35 after the second service. And so we're going to push pause on our 12 o'clock over the summer, bring it back in the fall. But this is a great opportunity for both our campuses to slow down, have some summer fun together. If you're new to the church, this is a fantastic opportunity for you to meet some new friends, to connect with the leadership and the pastoral team. We're really looking forward to a great summer together. There's going to be some surprises for the kids every Sunday, so bring them all out with you. Bring a few dollars for a donation towards lunch. All the proceeds for everything that happens over the summer will go 100% to our Root Youth Camp in the fall, helping to send students to the fall. So there's going to be something new on the menu every week, from corn on the cob to hot dogs to freshly cut watermelon and nice cold drinks. So it's going to be a good time. Now, speaking of fresh fruit, let me just tell you, this last week I was tempted, and I'll tell you what my temptation was all about. We went to New West. I had to drop my son at a doctor's appointment very early in the morning. And we went to drop them off at the appointment. And at the base of the building, there was a Starbucks. So I went into the Starbucks to get some breakfast. I'm not a big coffee guy, so wanted to get a cold bottle of water and some of those little egg bite things, you know, a little protein. And so I got in this long line to wait to get my water, to get my little egg things. And so I paid for it, and they were heating them up. And then I went over and waited for them. Waited to hear my name called out. And so while I was standing there, there was this big bowl of a big basket of bananas. I love bananas. So I was looking at these bananas going, oh man, I forgot to get a banana. I should have got a banana when I got in line. Now there's another big line. I got no cash on me, just my debit card. And so I grabbed a banana and I held it in my hand. And for a split second, I had that dine and dash feeling of, I'm just going to take this banana, right? Like, I already paid enough for the water and those stupid egg things. Like, surely it will cover the expense of one single solitary banana. Nobody's going to even notice if I just walk out the door with this banana. Well, the Lord prevailed, and I did not steal the banana. That's the good news. I had that kind of breaking news moment in my head, you know, of Surrey pastor arrested for banana theft in New West. You know, the sting, the banana sting at 6. Come back and we'll see the report. And so it's really a gateway fruit, you know, the banana. Today it's a banana. Tomorrow could be a watermelon. Next thing I know, I'm driving to the valley and knocking off fruit and veggie stands. It's a slippery slope, people, right? So don't steal the banana. Learn from Pastor Steve. Now, a bit of a review over the last month. If you've got your Bibles, pull that out. We're going to jump into the last episode today of this series. Over the course of the month, we've covered a lot of territory when it comes to what the church community looks like, what God's plan for the church community is. The church most definitely matters when it comes to who He has called you to be. In episode 1, we looked at the truth that every one of us is in the process of becoming somebody. And successfully becoming me is tied directly to becoming we. We are so much stronger, we are so much better when we stand together. And the good news is that we're not left on our own to rely on our own strength or our own understanding to bring it all about. We are empowered by the Spirit to be change makers.
We talked about that in week two. And so being a change maker has everything to do with the change maker abiding within you. And when the change maker abides within you, he can bring about change through your life. And you can influence the world that you're in. One of the qualities that I've loved about Calvary for the 15 years that I've been here, when we first came, I was struck by the intergenerational nature of the church. Young and old, all hanging out together. That is a God thing. And the enemy works overtime trying to not pass along the lessons that are learned from one generation to the next. I think the older generation can learn from the younger generation. I think the younger generation can learn from the older generation. Because when God takes passion, the passion of youth and the wisdom of those who have had some experience, when God combines those two things, miracles happen. Miracles truly happen and lives are transformed. And every single person who has been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ understands that true significance, the significance of this lifetime, hinges on two simple words, which we talked about last week, on follow me. Jesus said it many, many, many years ago, and he's still saying it to men and women of all ages today. And the good news is people are still answering that call. And when we follow him, when we walk in his steps, he orders those steps and guides us through everything that we're facing in our lives. And those miracles, the miracles of a changed life, those miracles are what this world needs when it comes to finding the hope that they so desperately need. So today we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." Brought near. So we were once strangers, now we're family. The context of this in Paul's day was that they were dealing with the truth, the gospel message, breaching the boundaries of the Jewish culture to reach the Gentile world, which was pretty controversial in the day. We stand in a church with people from all over the world, and the same message that has transformed you is the same message that God has for the rest of the planet. There's not a different message for a different culture. The Bible goes on to say that, "For he himself is our peace," not a vacation, not a paycheck, not anything that you can make happen in your life. "He himself is our peace, who has made two groups," the Jews and the Gentiles back in that day, he's made these two groups one, "and has destroyed the barrier," or the dividing wall, "of hostility." Today there's people that are committed to building walls, racial walls, putting one group on one side and one on the other. Jesus came to destroy those walls, to drop them down, "by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." His purpose was to create in himself, listen, one new humanity out of the two, one family, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through what? Through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners." I'm glad about that. We're not strangers anymore, but fellow citizens with God and also members of his household. You know that people who are members of a household have greater rights, more rights than people that walk past your house, don't they? The postman can't roll in and open the fridge and just make himself a sandwich, but the members of your household, for the most part, can do that. They have those liberties. When we are members of the household of God, he provides for us, he gives us guidance, he empowers us. As members of his household, we are his children, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. He is our foundation. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Now listen to this. "And in him, you too, each of you, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." I've entitled my message today, "Built Together." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence among us. We thank you for what you're doing here in this church, that you are the foundation of everything that you've called us to do. Today we celebrate the diversity that really is a reflection of your nature, that today each culture, each ethnicity is a window into who you are. And today we celebrate that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last year I was given the opportunity to meet with a group of church and business leaders in Michigan. And we went to Dearborn. Now, I tell you what, in the middle of the winter, there's nothing too exciting about Dearborn, Michigan. It's not high on the list of to-dos when it comes to where you need to go when it's cold. But we were there meeting in Dearborn, Michigan, and one of the business executives that was in our meetings was a top-level leader in the Ford Motor Company. And so she arranged a private tour of the Ford truck plant there in Dearborn. And this particular plant was like the center of life in that little town. The complex itself was ridiculously massive. It was about 1,100 acres that this plant covered. And it was ground zero for the Ford F-150, the pickup truck, and the Raptor, which looks like the kind of a truck that's turned into a transformer. Like, so these trucks, this is where they're built, from scratch. And many of the people in this community have generations that have worked for that company. And so we were given an opportunity to go in and to have the tour. So the tour starts with kind of an interactive kind of video experience. Rah-rah Henry Ford, you know, it was all about the history of the Ford Motor Company. And then the old guy who was leading the tour began to read a list of things that he was trying to put the fear of God into us. Like, no video recording, no cameras, no taking pictures, no veering off the course. When you get, don't go past the caution tape. And he said, we're guarding secrets of how these trucks are made, and you don't want people to learn the recipe for the everlasting gobstopper, right? It was like Willy Wonka taking you on a tour into his chocolate factory, and he didn't want anything leaked to the outside world. So finally the doors open, the lights are gone, everybody's phones are off and in their pockets, and they take you in on this series of catwalks that are high above the plant, which is below. And when you look down at the plant, you see the assembly line, and it's moving like this, constantly. Never stopping, always moving. And there's multiple stations all on the line. And when you look on the line, it's a combination of people power and robotics. It's unbelievable. It's actually quite amazing. And so we were there at the beginning of a truck being built. Now, there was trucks all in the various stages of being built. But depending on the truck you order and the specifications that you input, it's fed into this master computer that spits it out into the system as to whether it's going to be an F-150 or a Raptor, whether you're going to have special rims or a certain color. It all is generated in this one plant. And so you walk along the catwalks, and you can see people assembling the same part all day long, all day long. I said, do they ever switch that up, like for monotony's sake? They said, you know what? There's usually people who work for years putting the same part on. They actually like just the kind of the no-brain kind of just keep doing the same thing every day. Work hard, get a paycheck, and go. And so they're doing this. And so one station builds on the progress of the station before. And every station has a little yellow ripcord. And if something happens and something goes sideways, you pull the yellow ripcord, and a quality assurance guy comes in. He helps you to figure out what the problem could be. Maybe it's a defective part. And if it's something that is beyond their ability to solve in the moment, they hit the master red button and the whole line stops and grinds to a halt. But they said it very rarely happens. And so in the whole tour that we went through, we didn't see the thing stop once. It was just constantly going. Bang, the sunroof comes down, this guy comes and he's putting this and this and this. There's three guys and two ladies doing this. And so it's just non-stop. And what's interesting to me is that in this process of watching how these trucks were built, some designer crafted these trucks and how they were going to be built. And now, before our eyes, it was becoming a reality. Pieces that didn't look anywhere significant on their own, like what is their purpose, How does it even work or fit together? Suddenly, we're fit perfectly in this jigsaw puzzle that was coming together. In the beginning of the tour, I was able to see one chunk of truck become a truck progressively throughout the process. By the end of the process, that one chunk of truck had become a full-blown truck at the end of the line. Now a series of robots came in, they tested the wheels, they shook the thing, they were turning the radio on, they were turning the blinkers on, they were turning the high beams and the lights, testing every single thing. And when that truck, when the green light hit, a guy would come and jump into that truck and drive it right out the back door. So it went from a chunk of truck to a truck being driven into the parking lot and parked, ready to be shipped to whoever ordered that. And that's happening all day long. Pieces that don't look like they're anything on their own suddenly assembled into something that was strong and that had a purpose. You and I are the master's grand design, and every color, every culture and ethnicity were carefully crafted with great purpose and eternal significance, molded and shaped to be fit and built together for something greater than we could ever be on our own. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It actually helps the other parts grow." So your role in this church, in my life, makes me stronger. My role helps to make you stronger so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of what? Full of love. This is the glue that keeps our church family together, that regardless of our differences, regardless of where we've come from or how we've been raised, the love of God is what unites us. The love of God is what confounds the world, that they don't understand how can people from all walks of life stand in unity together. It is because of his love. The Bible gives us a pretty compelling vision for diversity in the kingdom of God. Throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we see God working to redeem people to himself from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, colorful and diverse. It's just wonderful. And the church's pursuit of diversity really reflects the Bible's picture of what the kingdom of God should be. And in the 21st century, I believe it will be that unity, the unity of the diverse types of believers walking together as one in a local church. I believe that that picture will proclaim to the world the fact that God's love for all people is very real and provides an active pathway for taking the gospel to so many different types of people. Now, in Greater Vancouver, in Surrey, in the community that surrounds our church, we know that we live in a diverse city. And because of that, God has designed Calvary, our specific church, to be a diverse church. Now, there's an interesting pattern in Scripture of God deliberately making people culturally adaptable. We see this pattern from Abraham to Joseph, right through to Moses, Ruth, David, Esther, Daniel, even those that were in captivity. We see this cultural adaptability in the New Testament as well. The book of Acts tells the story of the church's struggle to move beyond the Jewish context to the rest of the world. And back in that day, that was scandalous. Like, how dare you think that this message is for them too? Some people today that feel only at home with people that look and sound just like them. And yet God represents everyone. And so to do church without thinking about this, I think betrays part of the story of Christianity. You see, in its origin, this is who we are. As a church, we have strategically worked at becoming culturally adaptable. You see this on our staff. You see this on our board. You see this in the leadership of the church, on our worship team. You see it in our small groups. It's something that we've taken great caution to develop over the years. Because, again, it doesn't just represent our city and the diversity that we see in Vancouver. It represents the diversity that's in God himself. What heaven will look like looks a lot like the people in this room, people from all over the world of every color and every race. And I think over the years, in an effort for some people to kind of neutralize the racism problem, they've said, oh, God is colorblind. He doesn't see color, right? He just sees people all walking around. I think that's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. I've told people that. God is not colorblind. Why would God blind himself to his very creation? He created every hue, every color, every difference, every unique part of the people of this world. Why would he blind himself to that and go, I don't see anything. I just see just a bunch of people that are all the same. How horrible and plain that would be. I celebrate in the diversity. I love cities like Toronto and Vancouver. And now our nation is becoming more and more diverse. And yet that fear factor has risen up within people because they don't always understand people that look or sound differently than they do. You see, he clearly acknowledges those shades and those colors and those differences because it's in him. Speaking of Toronto, another great city full of diversity, full of color and rich heritage. When I was pastoring in the city of Toronto, I was given the opportunity to minister at an Ethiopian church. And so Susan and I went to this church, and I had an opportunity to minister and preach on that day. But their worship was unbelievably awesome. You know, in the middle of worship, it sounded like somebody let out a war cry, like they were coming right through the wall. Like, it kind of freaked me out. But it was awesome. Because it was so different than what I was used to that I felt like I was discovering more of who God is. At the end of the evening or the service, they took Susan and I to a restaurant to have cultural, you know, kind of focused Ethiopian food. And so the meal came to the table. It was like this massive kind of wheel. And on the bottom of that round kind of serving tray was like a thin, almost like a tortilla. But it was all the different types of food sat on that thin kind of bread. And so we were looking for utensils. There was none. People were very engaged and involved using their hands. And so people were reaching in. I'm up for anything, right, at least once. And if it's something that's not for me, then I won't return to it. But I'll try it one time. And so we tried all kinds of different things. All these tastes that to me were just so unique and I had never experienced before. At the end of the meal, they wanted to honor us by giving us that tortilla, that bread bottom. And it didn't look appetizing, I'll be honest with you. So I'm like, oh, no, you have it. So then they explained, they said that in their homes growing up, it was a big deal and a treat for the kids to wait to the end of the meal to see who would get that or who could break off a piece of it. Because what would happen is all the wonderful tastes of those different types of food would soak into that bread during the meal. And it would be represented in this bread that almost was like this prized possession. So they wanted to honor us with it. So we tore off a piece and tried it. I think this church represents this kind of tapestry where all kinds of different people from around the world come to this place. And when they come, when you add your life, your experience, your culture, your taste of your nation soaks into the tapestry of who we are called to be at Calvary. And I believe the world can then come and taste of something that is unique, something they've never experienced before. There's people that still come and marvel at the fact that we have two campuses with two different languages and that our kids all go to the same kids' church. That our church on a Sunday morning in each service looks more like the United Nations than it does one group of people. I don't know about you, but that excites me. And so when I went to that church in Toronto, that Ethiopian church, when I spent time loving and getting to know these people, I felt like I was closer to God because I felt like I had discovered a new face of God, the Ethiopian side. There's so many different types of people that make up and represent who God is. Now, I'm not saying that cultivating this kind of diversity doesn't come with it its share of challenges, because not always, people aren't always as excited as I am about that diversity. There's some people that have earnestly prayed over the years for revival. Back in the 80s, I don't know, for those of you that were in the church back then, they used to sing worship songs and they say, you know, we're calling the people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they used to believe for God to do something in their city, in their communities, and for people to come. Problem is for some is that when some of those people, when God began to draw people, and when they came, some people struggled because even though they prayed for it, they didn't look like them. They didn't sound like them. And so it was awkward. And some had to adjust with the fact that God doesn't just look like you. That every person you encounter, every race on the planet, is a unique part of who God is. So when we celebrate diversity on a day like this, we're not just celebrating your culture. We're celebrating the King. Because the King is the one who created each and every one of them. Now, these kind of intercultural relationships incorporate three components that I want to give you in closing, just quickly. The first one, we have a multi-ethnic directive by Jesus himself. We have a directive. It's very important. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of your nation. No, he says all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. He also said to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is our multi-ethnic mission, to reach our community, to reach our city, to reach our province, to then go into the nation, and then beyond the nation into the world. Just as I was coming up today, I got a text from our missionary, Bob Cave. He said, Steve, I just wanted to say hi to Calvary this morning in all your services. He said, I'm in Amsterdam with a group of pastors. He said, right now in Kiev, in Ukraine, where we're involved with helping an addiction center be developed and a Bible training situation, there's more churches being planted in Ukraine than ever before. And some of you are part of it. We've been there. Susan and I were there to open one of those churches. It's exciting to see what God is doing around the world. So we have a multi-ethnic directive that starts with reaching your neighbor. Just saying hi. And it expands to reaching the nations of the world. Number two, we have a multi-ethnic DNA that produces unity. You know, at the Tower of Babel, God separated a sinful people by making them all speak different languages. People are like, I don't know what he's saying. I don't understand it. But then in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, when we see the formation of the early church, he brings his people back together in Christ by giving believers the ability to speak the nation, to speak the language of heaven. They were then speaking in one accord, in unity. It was an incredible thing. And in one day, 3,000 people joined the church. That's a lot of blue welcome cards. That's a lot of Starbucks gift cards we have to send out to follow those people up. How exciting is that? And then number three, and the last one, we have a multi-ethnic destiny. This one is fantastic. Because really, I think this summarizes where we're headed and who God is. In Revelation chapter 7, John sees this panoramic view of what the church looked like in heaven. He had this vision, and he saw every nation, every tribe, worshiping the Lord together in unity. And John recognized these various people groups because we still have our distinctiveness in heaven. It's incredible that he could see those different groups. So in our efforts to adapt to different cultures while maintaining kind of biblical distinctives, for us at our church, at this church, we like to think outside the box to do whatever it takes to reach those different nations of the world and do it in creative ways. Bruce Lee was known as a film star and a martial arts expert. But he captured this creative philosophy when he said this. He said, when you pour water in a cup, it becomes a cup. When you pour water in a bottle, it becomes the bottle. When you pour water in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. So be water, my friend. You see, water always stays water. And the gospel and the church built together by his love should function just like that. The shape of the church and its methods, it may change. It may look like a bottle, it may look like a teapot, and it may look like a glass. Churches in our city are all different flavors. But the message of Jesus Christ, the water that fills those vessels, never changes. His message is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't need an advertising agency to make it more relevant or more current with the day. It is the same message that's changing lives, forgiveness of sin, transformation of an individual. That same message rings true today. And though the outside may change and we may do things in creative ways, the message that fills it, the living water, will always be the same. And today, on a day like this, when we celebrate boldly the diversity that represents our house, what we are really celebrating is the King who created each and every flavor, each and every taste. And your flavor brings strength to this house. It brings strength to my life. And it is an honor and a privilege as your pastor to stand with you, to see what God is building among us, building together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the diversity that is represented in who you are. Today, we ask that your love flow through everything that we do, that your love would unify us, that it would cross racial division, that this would always be a safe place for different people to experience what family is all about. Lord Jesus, you took a group of very different people and made them one family, and you're still doing it today. We pray today for the city of Vancouver, for the province of British Columbia, for the nation of Canada. On this Canada Day weekend, we pray that you truly will have dominion from sea to sea, and that you will use this nation as a healing leaf to the rest of the world. That when our flag flies, that our heart would beat strong as we are thankful for what you're doing in Canada and are expecting by faith in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.